2. Ittying down the street in a light aimless sort of a way, brothers, in these night platties which ludies like stared at as I went by, cold too, it being a bastard cold winter day, all I felt I wanted was to be away from all this and not to have to think any more about any sort of vesh at all. So I got the auto bus to centre, then I walked back to Taylor Place, and there was the disbootic Melodia I had used to favour with my inestimable customer, my brothers, and it looked much the same sort of mess though as it always had. And walking in, I expected to vidy old Andy there, that bald and very, very thin helpful-like vec from whom I had coveted discs in the old days. But there was no Andy there now, brothers, only a scream and a creech of Nadsat, teenage that is, Malchicks and Petitzas, slooshying some new, horrible pop song and dancing to it as well, and the vec behind the counter, not much more than a Nadsat himself, clicking his rooker bones and smecking like Bazoomney. So I went up and waited till he, like, deigned to notice me. Then I said, I'd like to hear a disc of the Mozart number 40. I don't know why that should have come into my Gulliver, but it did. The counter vec said, 40 what, friend? I said, Symphony number 40 in G minor.
Ooh,
went one of the dancing Nadsats, a Malchick with his hair all over his glasses.
Symphony, don't it seem funny? He wants a symphony.
I could feel myself growing all razdraz within, but I had to watch that, so I like smiled at the vec who had taken over Andy's place and at all the dancing and creeching Nadsats. This countervec said, you go into that listen booth over there, friend, and I'll pipe something through. So I went over to the Malenki box where you could slushy the discs you wanted to buy, and then this vec put a disc on for me, but it wasn't the Mozart 40, it was the Mozart Prague. He seemingly having just picked up any Mozart he could find on the shelf, and that should have started making me feel real razdraz, and I had to watch that for fear of the pain and sickness. But what I'd forgotten was something I shouldn't have forgotten, and now made me want to snuff it. It was that these Dr. Brachneys had so fixed things that any music that was like for the emotions would make me sick, just like vidying or wanting to do violence. It was because all those violence films had music with them, and I remembered especially that horrible Nazi film with the Beethoven Fifth, Last Movement. And now here was lovely Mozart made horrible. I dashed out of the box like Bazoomney to get away from the sickness and pain that were coming on, and I dashed out of the shop with these Nadsats smecking after me and the countervec creeching, "Hey, hey, hey!" But I took no notice and went staggering almost like blind across the road and round the corner to the Corova milk bar. I knew what I wanted. The mess, though, was near empty, it being still morning. It looked strange, too, having been painted with all red mooing cows, and behind the counter was no vec I knew, but when I said milk plus large, the vec with a, like, lean litzo, very newly shaved, knew what I wanted. I took the large Maloko plus to one of the little cubies that were all round this mesto, there being like curtains to shut them off from the main mesto, and there I sat down in the plushy chair and sipped and sipped. When I'd finished the whole lot, I began to feel that things were happening. I had my glasses, like, fixed on a Malenki bit of silver paper from a cancer packet that was on the floor, the sweeping up of this mess, though, not being all that horror show, brothers. This scrap of silver began to grow and grow and grow, and it was so, like, bright and fiery that I had to squint my glasses at it. It got so big that it became not only this whole cubie I was lolling in, but like the whole Corova, the whole street, the whole city. Then it was the whole world. Then it was the whole everything, brothers. And it was like a sea washing over every vesh that had ever been made or ever thought of even. I could sort of slushy myself, making special sort of shooms and gover-eating slovos like Dear Dead Idlewild's Rot Not in Variform Guises and all that cow. Then I could, like, feel the vision beating up in all this silver. And then there were colours like nobody had ever vidded before. And then I could viddy like a group of statues a long, long, long way off that was like being pushed nearer and nearer and nearer, all lit up by a very bright light from below and above alike, O my brothers. This group of statues was of God or Bog and all his holy angels and saints, all very bright like bronze, with beards and bolshy great wings that waved about in a kind of wind, so that they could not really be of stone or bronze, really, and the eyes or glazies like moved and were alive. These bolshy big figures came nearer and nearer and nearer till they were like going to crush me down, and I could slushy my galos going, yee! And I felt I had got rid of everything, platties, body, brain, name, the lot, and felt real horror show, like in heaven. Then there was the shoom of like crumbling and crumpling and Bog, and the angels and saints sort of shook their gullivers at me, as though to gover-eat that there wasn't quite time now, but I must try again. And then everything like leered and smecked and collapsed, and the big warm light grew like cold. And then there I was, as I was before, the empty glass on the table, and wanting to cry, and feeling like death was the only answer to everything. And that was it. That was what I vidded, quite clear, was the thing to do. But how to do it, I did not properly know, never having thought of that before, O my brothers. In my little bag of personal veshies, I had my cutthroat Britva, but I at once felt very sick as I thought of myself going swish at myself and all my own red, red crovy flowing. What I wanted was not something violent, but something that would make me, like, just go off gentle to sleep, and that be the end of your humble narrator. No more trouble to anybody any more. Perhaps, I thought, if I itted off to the public biblio round the corner, I might find some book on the best way of snuffing it with no pain. I thought of myself dead, and how sorry everybody was going to be, P and M and that Callie Vonnie Joe, who was like a usurper, and also Dr. Brodsky and Dr. Branham and that inferior interior minister and every vec else, and the boastful Vonnie government too. So, out I scattered into the winter, and it was afternoon now, near 2 o'clock, as I could viddy from the Bolshy Centre timepiece, so that me being in the land with the old Maloko Plus must have took, like, longer than I thought. I walked down Marganita Boulevard, and then turned into Boothby Avenue, and then round the corner again, and there was the public. It was a starry, cally sort of a mess, though, that I could not remember going into since I was a very, very malenky male chick, no more than about 6 years old, and there were two parts to it, one part to borrow books and one part to read in, full of gazetters and mags and like the von of very starry old men with their plots stinking of like old age and poverty. These were standing at the gazetter stands all round the room, snuffing and belching and gover-eating to themselves and turning over the pages to read the news very sadly, or else they were sitting at the tables looking at the mags or pretending to, some of them asleep and one or two of them snoring, real grumpy. I couldn't, like, remember what it was I wanted at first. Then I remembered, with a bit of a shock, that I had itted here to find out how to snuff it without pain. So I googled over to the shelf full of reference veshes. There were a lot of books, but there was none with the title, brothers, that would really do. There was a medical book that I took down, but when I opened it, it was full of drawings and photographs of horrible wounds and diseases, and that made me want to sick just a bit. So I put that back, and then took down the big book, or Bible, as it was called, thinking that might give me light comfort, as it had done in the old Stadger days. Not so old, really, but it seemed a very, very long time ago. And I staggered over to a chair to read in it. But all I found was about smiting 70 times 7 and a lot of Jews cursing and toll-chocking each other, and that made me want to sick too. So then I near cried, so that a very starry, ragged mooge opposite me said, "What is it, son? What's the trouble?" "I want to snuff it," I said. "I've had it. That's what it is. Life's become too much for me." A starry reading vec next to me said, "Shh," without looking up from some bazoomny mag he had full of drawings of, like, bolshy geometrical veshes. That rang a bell somehow. This other mooge said, "You're too young for that, son. Why, you've got everything in front of you." "Yes," I said, bitter, like a pair of false grudies. This mag-reading vec said, "Shh," again, looking up this time, and something clicked for both of us. I vidded who it was. He said, real grumpy, "I never forget a shape, by God. I never forget the shape of anything. By God, you young swine, I've got you now." Crystallography, that was it. That was what he'd been taking away from the biblio that time. False teeth crunched up real horror show, platties torn off, his books razzrezzed all about crystallography. I thought I had best get out of here real scorry, brothers, but this starry old mooge was on his feet, creeching like Bazoomney to all the starry old coffers at the gazetters round the walls and to them dozing over mags at the tables. "We have him," he creeched. "The poisonous young swine who ruined the books on crystallography. Rare books, books not to be obtained ever again, anywhere." This had a terrible, mad shume about it, as though this old vet was really off his Gulliver. "A prize specimen of the cowardly, brutal young," he creeched, "here in our midst and at our mercy. He and his friends beat me and kicked me and thumped me. They stripped me and tore out my teeth. They laughed at my blood and my moans. They kicked me off home, dazed and naked." All this wasn't quite true, as you know, brothers. He had some platties on. He hadn't been completely Nadjoy. I creeched back, "That was over 2 years ago. I've been punished since then. I've learnt my lesson. See, over there, my picture's in the papers." "Punishment, eh?" said one starry-like ex-soldier type. "You lot should be exterminated like so many noisome pests. Punishment, indeed." All right," I said. "Everybody's entitled to his opinion. Forgive me all. I must go now." And I started to itty out of this mess, though, of Bazoomney old men. Aspirin, that was it. You could snuff it on 100 aspirin. Aspirin from the old drugstore. But the crystallography vet creeched, "Don't let him go. We'll teach him all about punishment, the murderous young pig. Get him." And believe it, brothers, or do the other vesh, two or three starry dodderers, about 90 years old apiece, grabbed me with their trembly old rookers, and I was like made sick by the von of old age and disease which came from these near-dead mooges. The crystal vet was on to me now, starting to deal me malenki weak tolchocks and my litzo, and I tried to get away and itty out, but these starry rookers that held me were stronger than I'd thought. Then other starry vecs came hobbling from the gazetters to have a go at your humble narrator. They were creeching veshes like, "Kill him, stamp on him, murder him, kick his teeth in," and all that cow. And I could vidy what it was clear enough. It was old age having a go at youth. That's what it was. But some of them were saying, "Poor old Jack, near killed poor old Jack he did. This is the young swine," and so on, as though it had all happened yesterday, which to them, I suppose it had. There was now like a sea of vonny, runny, dirty old men trying to get at me with their like feeble rookers and horny old claws creeching and panting onto me. But our crystal droog was there in front, dealing out toll-chock after toll-chock, And I daren't do a solitary single vesh, O my brothers, it being better to be hit at like that than to want to sick and feel that horrible pain. But of course, the fact that there was violence going on made me feel that the sickness was peeping round the corner to vidy whether to come out into the open and roar away. Then an attendant vec came along, a youngish vec, and he creeched, "What goes on here? Stop it at once. This is a reading room." But nobody took any notice. So the attendant vec said, "Right, I shall phone the police." So I creeched, and I never thought I would ever do that in all my jeezny. "Yes, yes, yes, do that. Protect me from these old madmen." I noticed that the attendant vec was not too anxious to join in the dratzing and rescue me from the rage and madness of these starry vec's claws. He just scattered off to his light office or wherever the telephone was. Now, these old men were panting a lot now, and I felt I could just flick at them and they would all fall over, but I just let myself be held, very patient, by these starry rookers, my glazies closed, and feel the feeble tolchocks on my litzo, also slushy the panting, breathy old galosses creeching, "Young swine, young murderer, hooligan thug, kill him." Then I got such a real painful tolchock on the nose that I said to myself, to hell, and I opened my glazies up and started to struggle to get free, which was not hard, brothers, and I tore off creeching to the sort of hallway outside the reading room. But these starry avengers still came after me, panting like dying, with their animal claws all trembling to get at your friend and humble narrator. Then I was tripped up and was on the floor and was being kicked at. Then I slooshied galosses of young vex creeching, all right, stop it now. And I knew the police had arrived.